First, under a new 440-page rule from the Trump administration, healthcare providers, workers, and insurers can refuse to perform or pay for certain services that they say violate their religious or moral beliefs. The president announced the change at the White House during the National Day of Prayer last week.
Every citizen has the absolute right to live according to the teachings of their faith and the convictions of their heart. This is the bedrock of American life. To protect this heritage, my administration has strongly defended religious liberty, two words you haven't heard too much about for a long period of time, but now you're hearing it all the time, religious liberty.
While conservatives praised the announcement, LGBT and women's groups criticized it, saying it essentially amounts to discrimination. So what would actually change under the White House rules? Amy Goldstein is a healthcare policy writer for The Washington Post and the author of Janesville, An American Story. Amy, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Good to be with you again.
Well, we're at 400-plus pages. There's a lot going on here. Can you help us understand the scope of this new ruling from the White House?
Well, this is a very broad rule that was issued by the Department of Health and Human Services. And what it does is basically spell out certain kinds of health care services or health insurance coverage that under this rule, companies or doctors or other kinds of providers of care can say they're not comfortable providing based, as you said, on the religious or moral beliefs. And these are things such as abortion, assisted suicide in states where that's legal, sterilization services for people who want to not become pregnant. So this is a very broad rule that says that there's a whole bunch of things that people can say we don't want to do for patients or, in the case of insurance companies, for customers because we don't believe that they're right.
Now, the Catholic Association backed the idea. They said healthcare workers shouldn't have to choose between their practice or their faith. And they said that principle is enshrined in countless laws and regulations. They say that's been violated. So that's part of the argument here is that a lot of this has to do with rules already on the books that at least the White House and people who support this rule say just aren't being enforced right now. Is that right?
Well, there's a big disagreement about whether this is a good or bad thing to do, a legal or an unconstitutional thing to do. And the proponents of it, who tend to be people who are kind of the conservative religious community, which is a group that was very much in support of Donald Trump's election as president in 2016, they think this is terrific. And they make the point, as you just said, that there are a number of laws that already have existed that this rule would be the companion to. On the other hand, groups such as the American Civil Liberties Union or a number of women's rights groups say that this is discriminatory and that it's improper for anyone to say, we're not going to provide medical services or medical coverage of kinds that are legal in this country.
Let's talk about more about some of those concerns. We've heard from LGBT groups. They're one of the groups that's worried about this. One of the items specified, as I understand it, has to do with transgender issues, things like gender reassignment surgery. What do the rules say about that?
Well, the whole idea of gender transition and the both medical and so kind of social support services associated with that are part of what this rule gives medical providers permission to decline to carry out. That's obviously, as you just suggested, of great concern to people in the gay community, people who are transgender and advocating for them. So that's a big cause of concern. There's also a section of this big rule that relates to parents' rights to refuse certain kinds of care on behalf of their children. So, for instance, the rule says that if a parent is not comfortable with a child getting who, somebody thinks may have suicidal tendencies or suicidal thoughts, that the parent can step in and say, no, we don't want a suicide assessment done on my child, or we don't want early treatment done if somebody suspects that a child may be inclined towards suicide. Similarly, the rule says that if there are state laws that give parents latitude to say they don't want their children either vaccinated or given newborn hearing screenings, that it's essential that those parents' rights be allowed to follow the laws in their state. So as you can see, there's a wide range of kinds of services and kinds of people who are given this authority to step in and say, no, our religious or moral beliefs aren't consistent with this kind of care or this kind of coverage.
I understand that there have been religious objections to vaccinations before. I haven't heard of religious liberty concerns about hearing tests or suicide prevention. That argument is new to me. Is that something that's been out there?
You know, I think it's been out there. It's actually not something that I have written about either. You know, these things arise because interest groups that are, aligned with the Trump administration's belief think there's a problem out in the country. But these are not ones that have generated a lot of attention, at least in Washington, to my knowledge.
Talking to Amy Goldstein, healthcare policy writer at The Washington Post, looking at this new set of rules from the Trump administration on when insurers or healthcare providers, or as we heard in some cases, parents, can reject or refuse to provide certain kinds of care that don't meet their religious standards. Now we see soon after the president's remarks on the National Day of Prayer, the city of San Francisco sued the administration over these rules. What is their argument there?
Well, that's right. And let me set a little bit of the context around the city of San Francisco stepping in legally. So this new rule is part of a series of steps that the Trump administration has taken to try to, you know, in the lexicon of people on the ideological right, would call preserving religious freedom. People on the left would say it's discrimination, but that's the lexicon on the right. A year ago, the Department of Health and Human Services created within its longstanding Office of Civil Rights a new division on what it calls conscience and religious freedom. So there have been, as I said, a series of things that the administration is doing through executive powers, all leaning in this direction. I bring this up because a number of them have generated lawsuits. So, for instance, there is another rule, not within this rule, but another one that the administration issued some months ago that would allow some employers to not cover contraceptive services in the way that the Obama administration interpreted a section of the Affordable Care Act that relates to essential health services and preventive care. There were suits against that rule about contraception, and two judges have issued injunctions, one nationally and one spanning several states, saying that that rule can't go forward while this lawsuit is being fought out. So this new effort by the city of San Francisco is in the same vein. It's saying we think that this conscience rule that just was issued last week also is unconstitutional. And the city, which is in a pretty liberal state where there are some judges who they were appointed by Democratic presidents, they're hoping that in a similar way, this rule might be stopped as well. But time will tell.
And there's a consequence here, right? If an employer like a city like San Francisco or a hospital or whatever doesn't follow these guidelines, if, in fact, say they would fire a practitioner for refusing to provide services because of religious liberties, they could face loss of federal funds. Is that right?
Well, that's right. These rules apply to any entity, which is kind of a, you know, kind of a nerdy word, but any healthcare institution, which could be a hospital, a nursing home, a clinic, any provider of care, which could be a physician, a nurse, a tech who may be prepping patients for surgery, any of those institutions or people that in any way receive federal funding for their work. That's who's covered by this so-called conscience rule.
We're talking about President Trump's new rule on faith-based protections for healthcare workers. It would allow providers, insurers, and employers to opt out of certain services they say go against their religious or moral beliefs. It also allows parents to refuse certain kinds of healthcare services for their children, as we've been hearing. Amy Goldstein is our guest, healthcare policy writer for The Washington Post and author of the book Janesville, An American Story. You can weigh in at 800-642-1234. Are you glad that the Trump administration implemented this version of what's been called the conscience clause in the past? Or is this going to prevent patients from getting medical help they need? If you work in the medical field yourself, are there services you don't feel comfortable performing because of your religious convictions? Or do you feel that you and your colleagues should provide whatever legal services are needed by patients? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're talking to Amy Goldstein about the Trump administration's new faith-based protections for healthcare providers, insurers, and workers, allowing them to refuse to provide certain services if they don't meet their moral or religious standards. Amy is a healthcare policy writer at The Washington Post. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this idea? What do you think of allowing those in the healthcare business to opt out of doing certain things because of their religious beliefs? What questions do you have about the scope of this new rule from the White House? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Ben is with us in La Crosse. Ben, hello.
Hello. The Declaration of Independence states that the just powers of government derive from the will of the people. They do not derive from God. If a policeman decides that he has a religious objection to perhaps arresting a husband who beats up his wife because of his religious beliefs, the principle of these new rules would suggest that he couldn't be punished or receive any sort of reprimand for that kind of behavior. We already have the moral right and the moral opportunity to not follow the law if we feel that it's not, we feel it's morally objectionable. We just have to face the consequences of not following the law.
Ben, thanks a lot for the call. I want to, that reminds me, Ben's call reminds me, Amy, of the scope of this law. It specifies a lot of practices, just to follow his police example there. A doctor couldn't just say, I don't approve of this person's lifestyle. I'm not going to do heart surgery on them, right? It is a specific group of procedures. Do I have that correct?
That's correct. It enumerates what kinds of services somebody could say, I'm not comfortable performing. It's not the nature of somebody's way of living. You're correct about that.
And have people challenge this along the lines of what Ben is saying? I mean, he's kind of going into a separation of church and state there in some ways.
Well, I mean, this has just happened last Thursday. And this, I should say that this rule is scheduled to take effect in about 60 days. So it's just playing out in real time. On the other hand, the administration proposed this some months ago. Thursday of this past week was when it became a final rule. And yes, certainly there were church-state kinds of objections that have been raised to it.
Thanks for the call, Ben. We'll go now to Jordan in Stevens Point. Jordan, hi.
Hello there.
What did you want to bring up, Jordan?
So my question concerns if a healthcare practitioner refuses to provide care based on their religious liberties, and the person who was seeking care dies as a direct result of that lack of care, who is liable?
Jordan, thanks for the call. Is this an issue that's come up, Amy?
Well, it's an issue that hasn't come up because it hasn't been in effect yet. Mm-hmm. But that's certainly, you know, a very intriguing question. And, you know, I should say, you know, we're hearing from a couple of people who have qualms about this rule. you know, people on the other side of the debate says, look, religious freedom is, which has become kind of the lexicon of social conservatives, something they're very interested in perpetuating, that religious freedom is something that has been sort of under-recognized in this country, and the Trump administration is saying, we want to foster it. So those are the two, you know, two hands clapping in this kind of morally complex argument.
Thanks for that call. I wanted to ask about reaction in Congress and specifically House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. She has described the new rule as, quoting, downright deadly. And she says the House Democrats will fight back against this. What, assuming the House could get the Senate to agree, but what kind of options would Congress have?
Well, to the extent that, I mean, first of all, she's articulated that, but the House has not begun to do much at this point. But, you know, time will tell how this will play out. You know, hypothetically, and this is purely hypothetical, to the extent that this rule says that it's trying to enforce laws that are in place, Congress could come along and say, no, we're changing the law, so that healthcare practitioners cannot refrain to provide certain kinds of care based on their personal, religious, or moral outlook. Time will tell.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Amy Goldstein from The Washington Post about new White House rules. President Trump was talking about this last week. They take effect in a couple months. They allow healthcare providers and insurers, among others, to refuse to provide a set list of services if they have religious objections. Back to your calls now. Bree is with us in Wausau. Bree, hello.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. My question would be in regards to parents having the right to choose certain care for their children according to their religious beliefs. I'm from a town where we got rocked with the news that a family chose to pray over their, I believe, 12-year-old daughter rather than give her insulin because that was their religious belief. And the mother and the father wound up serving jail time for this because as a result, the daughter died. So where do we get to draw the line with refusing care of a child because of religious belief? And I guess I'll just take my call on here. Thank you.
Bree, thanks a lot for that call. Amy, this particular set of rules does draw a line. We were talking about that a little earlier. You mentioned a few particular examples. Are there other cases where parents could refuse particular kinds of care for their children under these rules?
Well, I'm a very bad prophet. So I'll just tell you that once this rule takes effect, if it does take effect, if it's not stopped by the courts, then I suspect that individual families will test the bounds of it. But that hasn't happened yet because it's not in effect.
Right. I mean, in every case, it sounds like this set of rules enumerates specific examples. But it sounds like you're saying people might say, well, it doesn't specifically not list these, so we might try them again. This is all hypothetical. This might see test cases outside of the specific examples given in these rules?
Perhaps. You should hear that as a big maybe.
Right, exactly. Thanks a lot for the call. Bree, we'll go now to Jerry in Galena, Illinois. Jerry, hi.
Hi, Amy. Listen, 2 points. People who attend public institutions, community college, university, MD programs, who receive from the citizens of that state, say Illinois, who receive tuition support through the citizens of a state, must provide services to the citizens of that state. They are bound by the fact that they've accepted tuition support from the citizens of that state. One. Two, patients should have the right to walk into a provider's office and see a public proclamation. That individual will not service certain folks, will not provide services to certain people.
Jerry, thanks for the call. To that second point, Amy, I don't think these rules include any requirement that a provider specifically say, hey, because of religious reasons, I'm not going to provide these services.
No, the rule doesn't do that. But, Jerry, your point is in line with what some of the strong opponents of this rule have been saying in the past few days, that people should have a right if they walk into a physician's office or any other kind of healthcare practitioner's office to know what that person will and won't do for them up front. That's become kind of a mantra of the opposition that you're reflecting. So you're not the only one, as you may know, with that point of view.
Thanks a lot for the call. Jerry, we'll go now to Stella in Sturgeon Bay. Stella, hi.
Hi. I just would like to point out that all of the discussion seems to be from the perspective of the medical provider seeing their quote religious freedom unquote being imposed upon if they are required by law to provide certain services that they have religious objections to. I would like to point out that there's another side to this story here, which is the patient coming for medical treatment and medical care is having the providers, medical providers' religious beliefs imposed, forced upon them when they may or may not, and let's take the case of may not, subscribe to those religious beliefs.
Stella, thanks for the call. We're just about out of time, but Amy, is that an argument we've heard from critics of this rule?
Well, let me just say that, we've been hearing via your callers from some people who make, quite articulate arguments out of concern for what the rule's implications may be. I suspect that there are people elsewhere in the country, people who have very different points of view, who would be arguing just as forcefully for the other side, which is what makes this all quite intriguing.
Thanks for the call. Amy, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be with you.
Amy Goldstein is a healthcare policy writer for The Washington Post. We talked with her about the Trump administration's new rules along the lines of the old Conscience Clause rules. It allows health providers, insurers, and employers to refuse to provide or pay for services they say violate their religious or moral beliefs. The city of San Francisco is suing the administration, claiming the rule would restrict access to contraception, abortion, and other medical services.